days later, when I read the story in the Times, it said that MI6 had been informed that I had some of the Epstein files and that I had given them to the Russian government. Which was a shock to me, because I didn't think anybody actually knew that I was possibly in possession of these files. Well, so apparently somebody with MI6 leaked this to the media. And the only way that they could have ever known that I had these files is from the American FBI. Because if you remember, in 2016, the FBI raided my home and they took all my computers and my server set. But in January of 2019, they discovered that I had a backup of all my files smuggled to me here in Russia.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path to long-term, sustainable weight loss because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This is an explosive story. I have John Dugan back to the program. He was the person, for those of you who watched that show, if you haven't, you need to go see it. He's the one that acquired the Seth Rich tapes and helped to get it to WikiLeaks. I don't know if KimGut.com ended up getting it, but he helped a contact in Europe get it and then facilitate it to WikiLeaks. But he was in Palm Beach County, Florida, and had a whistleblower server so that he could host different whistleblower cases. And so I had him on the show to talk about the whole Seth Rich case, but this time he has Epstein files. And how I learned about this was that the FBI leaked something to MI6 and the Times of London published an article. And then a journalist went over to Russia and confirmed that he actually had these tapes. And the FBI did not realize that he had them, and he has all of them. And he's going to talk about what's in them. And the problem is that him having these tapes makes it hard for them to push anything under the carpet because he has everything they have. And it's explosive information and you need to hear what he has to say. But I also got to tell you, he has a dead man switch. He has at least 10 copies. He made copies of these. It's like a terabyte and a half hard drive. He made copies of it. At least 10 copies. They're all over the world. Each one has their own encryption key. Anything happens to him and that hard drive is going to get out there. So I know he's been threatened. He's been poisoned. All these things in the last week, but they need to know that he has a dead man switch and you kill him and the information is out there. So I think that's the smartest thing that he's done. And we need to get into this, and it's very explosive. He's a hero. He has asylum in Russia. He's an exile. He's like Snowden kind of person, really trying to help people. He's an ex-police officer in Palm Beach County and realized that he just needed to help people. There was too much corruption going on. And his story, he has a book called Bad Wolf where he explains the whole story. He says he makes about 50 cents a copy, but he really wants to get his story out there so people understand what happened. His house got raided. He jumped to Russia. This was all at the same time that Seth Rich was going on. Again, got to watch that first interview that I did with him on that. It's explosive. It's very important information. And before I get into this awesome interview, I want to tell you, my new shop is up, which some of you have seen, but I have some additional discounts and actually some coupon codes that are changing for Rev Genetics, the, you know, the stem cell, the one that works on 8 different factors, and the NMN builder, that I have 10% off now from Rev Genetics. So go to my website, sarahwestall.com/shop, and you can get that coupon code and use the link I have. And also Defy Time, the one where it lengthens your telomeres by at least 16%, has increased their discount now to 10% for the end of year. This is all special end of year, Christmas holiday season discounts. And please go to my website because I am going to be adding more discounts. There's going to be more products that are coming out. People are having special buys. So those are the two products now, or that actually there's more than two products. They each have a suite of products under their lines. But 10% off already for Rev Genetics. Their prices are already with me. They're a little bit below Amazon. Now you get an additional 10% off of that. And then with Defy Time, it's the most effective product in the world for increasing your telomeres and bringing back your youth. So it's incredible. Again, 10% off. Now let's get into this very, very important conversation with John Dugan. Hi, John. Welcome back to the program.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. At the time that we talked about Seth Rich and that whole fiasco, you said, you know, Sarah, we really should dig into some of the other whistleblower stuff that I have. And boy, did I not realize the extent of what you actually had. And the Times, right, the Times of London. Can you explain what you actually have and what relating to Epstein, and then we can dig into it and how that came out?
Well, so I received a call from a journalist from the Times about, 2 months ago, I think. And he started asking me about Epstein. And, you know, of course, I didn't really have a lot to tell him because I don't know much about his investigation. And I wasn't sure what he was asking for. So a few days later, when I read the story in the Times, it said that MI6 had been informed that I had some of the Epstein files and that I had given them to the Russian government, which was a shock to me because I didn't think anybody actually knew that I was possibly in possession of these files.
And so... So then what happened? You are in possession of these files, and we want to talk about what these files are. And you had a journalist come and confirm that. Can you explain that? And I mean, how did they know that? I mean, what happened?
Well, so apparently somebody with MI6 leaked this to the media. And the only way that they could have ever known that I had these files is from the American FBI, because if you remember, in 2016, the FBI raided my home and they took all my computers and my servers at my home.
Yep.
So the FBI was in a position to know what I had on my computers. And I'm guessing that the FBI assumed that once they took all my computers, that once they took all my computers, they had all the files. But in January of 2019, they discovered that I had a backup of all my files smuggled to me here in Russia. And the backup would have been anything that I had in early 2016 on my other computers. So here's where it gets a little dicey. I didn't actually know.
So hold on, before it gets dicey, is it more than what the FBI has? You have a much more from your backups than what they have.
No, they have everything.
Oh, they have everything too. Okay.
Yeah. So where it gets dicey is, so in 2010, I was friends with Joe Ricari, who was a detective on the Epstein case. And he had come to me, this was after I started my whistleblower websites, and he had come to me with a bunch of boxes and said, hey, I need you to store this stuff for me, you know? And so I did. I scanned everything, and I burned a bunch of DVDs into an encrypted container, and I stored everything for him. I never actually looked through the contents of everything. So this is, if you remember, I worked for a different agency than Ricari. I worked for the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, and he worked down at Palm Beach. So I didn't actually have anything to do with this investigation, and I didn't know exactly what I was storing for him. And, the FBI, knowing that I had this, had a backup of these files now, alerted MI6. And the only reason they would alert MI6 is because, one, they knew what was in the files that I now possess. And two, they know who was in the files. Because if that Prince Andrew guy, he wasn't in the video that I had, then the FBI would have never gone to MI6 and told them, hey, you need to be concerned because, you know, he has a copy. Because why would they, right?
Okay, so this is a big deal, because essentially what you're telling me is you could mess up their cover-up because you have all this video evidence. And now that's why they care. They thought they had it and they could clean it up, yeah, and sweep it under the rug or do whatever. Now, oh my God, there's these videos that are out there that we don't have control of. Is that essentially what's going on?
That's correct.
So now after you realized, oh, this is a big deal. There was a journalist. Was it from the Times that came, or a different journalist?
No, actually, the journalist was here. He owns some kind of crime radio program. And he was here interviewing me. We had been speaking for about a year. And he made his plan about 7 or 8 months ago to come to Moscow to meet with me about a project. So he was here when the Times published that story, and it was really a mess because, number one, it screwed up his schedule. And number two, he's sitting in my kitchen when this story comes out, and he says, hey, do you really have these videos from Epstein? And I walked into my closet and I grabbed the hard drive. And I came back out and I gave it to him, and he's like, what's this? I'm like, oh, it's the Epstein file. And he's like, oh, and he gave it back to me. He's like, I don't want anything to do with this. But I do.
I want to hear about it. I want to hear what's on that, but keep going.
Yeah, yeah. So after a few days, you know, because this is dangerous stuff that I have. You know,
it's very dangerous. Yes.
Dangerous for me. And, you know, cause I don't want to wind up like, Arkansas-ed or Epstein-sided. So I went and I dispersed, 10 copies of this around the world, actually more now.
Excellent. So you have a dead man switch.
I do.
Good for you.
And it's foolproof.
Good for you.
But we decided that we decided that we wanted to take a look. He didn't want to identify anybody. He wanted to pick some videos at random. And we could just kind of see what the contents are, like scroll to the middle and see what was happening. And so we did. We decrypted my hard drive, and we watched seven videos, seven out of over 700.
Okay, there's a lot of material. Okay.
There's a lot of material. That's a 1.5 terabyte hard drive, and it's full.
And what are on these videos? What are you watching? Are you watching people being interviewed, or are you actually watching assaults?
Seven out of the seven videos, it was six of them, six people having sex with juveniles. I mean, they don't show their identification, but I'm pretty sure they're juveniles. And the sixth one was kind of strange. The seventh one was strange because it was, he had cameras set up in like the rooms that the kids would use, like surveillance cameras. And he would record them like taking showers and getting dressed and all sorts of weird stuff. So that the seventh one that we watched, or one of the seven that we watched, was some girl like coming out of the shower, putting on lotion and getting ready for whatever she was.
And she looked like she was 14 or something.
That one, I don't remember how old she looked. She wasn't over 18, that's for sure. But one of them in one of the videos looked like she was probably about 14. Yeah.
Pretty young. The other ones looked like maybe they were a little older teenagers. Or all underage. They all look like they were under 18.
Oh, they all looked underage.
And then how about the men?
Keep in mind, we didn't. Oh, they were old. Jesus. Oh, one looked like he was probably 50.
And what, did the girl look like she was distraught, or did she just kind of sit there, or what?
So, I feel weird saying this, because
I know it's hard. I know it's really hard. We're talking about a sexual abuse and a rape, essentially. But I'm trying to get to what's on these videos. So I'm sorry, everybody, that it's so disgusting.
So
go ahead.
I don't want to minimize having sex with somebody under 18.
Exactly.
But nothing looked forced. Everything looked consensual, as much as somebody under 18 can consent. You know, there doesn't look like anything, and there was no violence, and there doesn't look like anything that was,
of the six videos you saw out of hundreds, there wasn't violence. And
correct.
We know that
right.
He was prepping these girls and training them for this purpose. So he was prepping them to not, you know, not fight back, and they got paid well for this. Are you assuming these, they all look like powerful men more than likely, or men who had money? I mean, it's hard to tell, I guess, but is that the assumption?
It's hard to tell. And I, out of the six videos, one I recognize, and one looks familiar, but I can't place them.
No, you don't want to. I'm assuming you don't want to say the name of the person you recognized, or are you willing to?
No, I don't. Okay. I'll tell you why. Because once they start releasing names, there goes my insurance policy.
Okay. And can you just give us a hint? Is he a powerful person in politics or business?
He's a powerful person in media.
In media. Okay. Okay, that's good to know. So, are you disgusted? I mean, what are your thoughts on this now that you know that you have evidence? Now, first of all, why did your guy have all this evidence of videos? How did he get hold of them? Did you ever ask him that? I mean, what is this? You know, how did he have all this?
I don't know. It wasn't my business to ask. He asked me to keep it safe, and I did.
Okay, so basically, if they decide they want to go after these people, they have pretty foolproof to be able to take down it. Even if Epstein's dead, they should have proof to be able to.
The FBI.
Yes.
The FBI has everything that I have.
So the FBI does. They do not need Epstein. if Epstein was suicided, which a lot of people think that's a farce and don't believe it, but even if he was and he's gone, they don't need him because they have all these videos.
They don't. They do.
Okay.
And I know they have the videos, and I know they have access to the videos because they told MI6.
And you believe they told MI6 because Prince Andrew is likely in one of those 700 videos.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen it.
No.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to tell us about the Epstein situation that we may not know? I mean, has anybody called you?
No, I mean, you know, I don't...
Go ahead.
Say what?
I was like, has anybody called to talk to you? I mean, they haven't called to talk to you about the Seth Rich case, which just blows me away. I mean, people need to watch that original interview that I interviewed you. But there's so much information here they could get from you, and they just aren't talking to you. But go ahead.
Oh, and let me tell you something. I have a lot more than the Epstein.
And I want to ask you about that. Let's dive into other things. Yeah, let's dive into a couple other topics. What?
Okay. What? Like what other topics?
Well, you need to tell me. What else do you have that is important for our country to heal and to bring to justice?
I don't know.
You don't know based on, I mean, what other whistleblowers came for?
I was asked to keep these files. And, you know, when I was asked to keep these files, well, first of all, when I was asked to keep these files, Ricari was alive and kicking, was in perfect health. And even in 2017, when I talked to him the last time, he was in good health. So I was really shocked to learn that he was dead.
They thought how he died, or that he was, once he was gone, they thought they could bury it for good until they realized you were there.
You know, I don't know. I don't know the circumstances under which he died, other than a brief illness. And I don't know who the big players are, but I suspect there's some top-level people from the FBI that are probably on those tapes. If I was Epstein, I would have made friends with high-ranking law enforcement officials from the local, state, and federal government. I would have enticed them into my little web, because then who's going to arrest him?
So... what else do you have besides Epstein? Because I know you had a whistleblower site. You had the Seth Rich tapes or files. You had the Epstein files. I mean, I'm just blown away by what you all have. What else did you have on that incredible, useful computer of yours?
Well, so I've got hundreds of different cases from all over the place, hundreds. Did I say 100 or hundreds? Hundreds. Like, yeah, because so when the town of Palm Beach, when the state attorney's office, the Palm Beach County State Attorney's Office, and they basically let him go in 2008 or 7 or whatever it happened to be, when they basically gave him carte blanche to come out of jail on work release and rape more girls. I mean, the Palm Beach County, the town of Palm Beach, they lost complete confidence in the state attorney's office and in the sheriff, and, you know, Sheriff Rick Bradshaw. So I would have guys, you know, every month they come over with boxes of stuff for me to scan, not just related to Epstein, but for all sorts of different things they thought were important.
So yours is essentially a treasure trove of all the corruption that's been going on in Florida over the last 15 years.
That's Florida, but Palm Beach.
Palm Beach, okay.
Palm Beach, where really, really powerful people.
But Palm Beach is who? What are the, is there a lot of the trafficking going on there? Is there, what would you say is?
I don't know.
Okay. What,
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't look at any of the stuff
you didn't.
that I got. I just know that I haven't. No. I would look, it's like you going into a bank and getting a safety deposit box, and the bank gives you the key and they say, okay, go ahead and stick this in your box. We don't want to know what's in it. I was the same thing, but on a digital level.
But once you realize that you have the files, that's when you're going in and looking and saying, oh man. So you could have a lot more. Haven't your curiosity to go into some of these files just to see what they are?
Yeah, I have been curious, but you know what they say about curiosity?
What?
Kill the cat.
Okay. Well, let me ask you. People are saying that Epstein was much more than a blackmail operation, although base six out of the seven files that you saw look like a sure look like a blackmail operation potentially. Did you have any evidence that he might have been doing drug, flying a pilot for drug trafficking or anything, arms trafficking or anything like that?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. And what would you say is the most important thing with to go forward with these files? I mean, what should the FBI do? What should law enforcement do? What should Bill Barr do? What should they do to take care of our country? What's the right thing to do? Yes.
The FBI should have done what they should have done in 2006. And they should have done what they should have done when they got the files from me in 2016. And that's to go after these people and prosecute them. But they won't, because I don't think they can, because I think really the people involved are so powerful, it would lead to crumbling the foundation of our country's framework. I mean, just
But don't you think the okay, now this is that's the argument I've heard. But if we keep people like that in power, it's crumbled and destroyed
I
already.
get it.
If
I'm on that page, absolutely.
we have nothing right now. The only way that we can rebuild is to get rid of when you have a psychopath who hurts and little children in power, what are we doing? We're going to protect them? Yeah, it might crumble down our infrastructure, but we need to figure out how to rebuild that infrastructure pretty quick without those kind of people.
But nothing's ever going to happen because, well, like for instance, the one person I recognize who happened to be, he was, I don't think he was ever an anchor or anything like that, but he was controlling, at least several years ago, he was in control of NBC. I'm not going to name names, but this is a very powerful guy, and I don't know. I never bothered to look to see if he's still involved in NBC or the media, but this was a guy who, I'm sorry, MSNBC. I don't know if there's like a difference, like a big difference, but.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm gonna throw this be flippant about it. Who cares? He's a media guy. I mean, he's not
No,
that.
he's in control of the company.
Yeah, but he's not. There's so many companies that have more, that matter more than, sure, the media matters, but he's just a scum that has money that runs a media company. He's not relevant for the country. I'm sorry, dude, whoever you are. You're not that important. He thinks he's important. Go ahead.
No, I agree. Well, but the problem is these media companies, they control what's let out, what's not. You ever notice? Have you noticed that everything is being reported out of Europe and nothing's being reported out of the US?
Because we can't, we're completely silenced and blackout here, and the censorship is incredible.
That's because I think that there are a lot more media people in the States. And I think they're controlling the narrative. They want this quashed. It's going to be quashed. The FBI, the people need to be shouting at the FBI to do something. And I think the FBI is under a lot of pressure because they know what I have, and I think they're scared that I'm going to leak it.
Who cares? We already know the media is a bunch of fakes. We know that they're lying. We know they're making crap up. I mean, I'm like, so? they're not that important to our country, especially if they're doing that. They're actually a net negative to our country. So let's...
They're not that important to our country. You're right, but they control the flow of information. That's the problem. They might not... They control the flow of information.
They do right now, and it needs to stop, because if that's what's on top, that needs to come down. I know my listeners agree with me. I know that most of the country agrees with me. Anybody with a brain.
I agree with you.
Anybody with a brain who actually cares about our country, I think agrees with me. So you are a hero. You are you have an asylum in Russia. You're in exile, essentially. You're a hero to our country. Got no one's reached out to you, other than now you're still afraid for your life.
Yeah, well, I've had a weird week, a weird month. I've had my car sabotaged. I've been followed. Well, wait, I was followed and then had my car sabotaged. And then I wound up getting poisoned.
That's the point of the dead man switch. It gets out there. You kill them and it gets released. Yeah. So the...
Maybe somebody wants that. Who knows?
Is there anything else that you want to tell our audience? And as the next big story comes out and I realize that John over there in Russia has the tapes or the files, I'll be doing another interview with you. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience? And anything that you, I mean, with all your insight and everything you've gone through?
It's interesting because the files range from 1994 to 2005, I think, what I had. So, yeah. Who knows? Who knows what's on them?
Okay. Well, you know what's on seven of them, which is pretty good indication of six out of that seven were the same thing that you randomly picked. It's a pretty good indication that there's...
Yeah.
What you don't know is there could be other random files of something else, which would be really interesting to see.
Well, 7 out of 700, yeah. I mean, I've only touched 1%.
That's what I mean.
So the other 99%,
well, you...
probably... But I don't have access now, you know?
I'd say the majority, 6 out of 7 is probably, you know, what represents the majority. And then the rest are random files. So why don't you have access now?
Well, because I don't want access. I mean, I have a drive.
Okay, I
have the drive. But I changed the encryption key, and the encryption key is being kept in South Russia for this particular drive.
Okay, and...
This particular drive.
The encryption, that's the Epstein files, okay. And the encryption key is, for each one has its own encryption key and it's spread out around the world.
Yes.
Who wants to watch a bunch of underage girls having sex, right? I mean, that's probably part of why you don't want to watch it.
There's some sick-ass people out there. Obviously, somebody wanted to watch them because they exist.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay, I suppose they made all sorts of money off of them. Okay, so anything else you want to say to our listening audience? I think it's important that you get your voice and say what you want to say to people before we end this.
That's pretty much it. They can look at my book. By the way, I get like 50 cents a book, so it's not like I'm plugging it for money, but if they want to see exactly why I'm in Russia, my book is Bad Wolf, BADVOLF, and it's on Amazon. It's an interesting tale of what I faced when I was at the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office and the retaliation that I had to, go through and the antics that I had to pull to try to get some exposure to some of the stuff that was happening. So, you know, I guess they can look at that.
And we covered some of that in the first interview, so I really highly recommend people listening to that one. We also talked about how you came in contact with Seth Rich and how the FBI raided your place and how you skipped over to Russia and got asylum. It's a really very interesting case that deserves national attention. So I just thank you so much for joining the program.
Well, you're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
All right.